Hello and welcome back to Journey the Monkey King. Myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Hello!
So we are continuing our reading Journey to the West. We're on chapter 38 now. And this chapter is going to involve some animal cruelty, a lot of animal death, and some good old corporal punishment.
Okay. Can we call the murder of monsters animal cruelty?
I know, I'm referring to actual animals.
It's sentient beings, so I guess it is. It is definitely murder.
In this case, I'm talking about actual animals.
I see. Okay. No, not the horse. Kuiva, can you promise me nothing bad happens to the horse?
The horse is fine.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed.
When we last left off, the prince of the Black Rooster Kingdom had been told by Sun Wukong that his father was murdered 3 years ago by an evil Taoist who has been impersonating him ever since.
And Tripitaka's response to this was, well, why didn't you go through the proper channels?
Yeah, why didn't you take him to court over this?
Liberals, honestly.
He can't murder you. That's illegal. But the prince doesn't quite believe this story, but he's convinced enough to investigate matters for himself. So he takes the King's Jade Token from Wukong and he rides back to the city on his own in secret. And he enters through the servant's gate. He doesn't disguise himself, but the servants aren't exactly going to stop the prince from entering, and I suppose they have enough sense to know that if he's entering by the back door, he probably doesn't want it announced.
Yeah.
And he heads to the Brocade Fragrance Pavilion, which is the queen's residence, where he finds his mother crying. And when she sees him, she forces a smile and asks him why he suddenly appeared when she hasn't seen him in 3 years. And why does he sound so sad?
There are many unhealthy family dynamics in that sentence.
Oh, it's about to get worse.
great.
She asked him, why does he sound so sad? Your father is getting very old, so you'll probably inherit the throne soon, so you should be happy.
Don't look so sad. Your dad's gonna die.
yeah. Dynastic politics does weird things to a family.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we have discussed, the emperor in this period murdered his two of his brothers, and then his father, you know,
allegedly
voluntarily. No, this is not allegedly. Oh, right, yeah. He straight up killed him. This is not. Oh, yeah. This is not hidden. This was not like Daggers in the Dark. He had soldiers kill them at like the front gate of the palace.
That's fair.
And then his father, you know, voluntarily abdicated the next day. So anyway, the prince asks his mother for a preemptive pardon for what he's about to ask.
Okay, promise you won't get mad.
Like, not just forgiveness, a legal pardon.
Okay, promise you won't get legally mad.
So he asks if his parents are just as intimate as they were 3 years ago. And when she hears this, she starts openly sobbing and runs down.
Mom, how's your sex life? Yeah,
she puts her arms around him and she asks, you know, why would he appear suddenly after 3 years just to ask a question like that?
Yeah, your son turns up after 3 years, finds you crying, and his first question is, so you still fucking?
Yeah. The prince is just kind of annoyed by this. And he tells her, if she has something to say, then say it.
Oh my god.
And she tells him, through a poem, of course, that no, They have not fucked in 3 years. He says he's too old to get it up anymore. She says this in a poem.
How do you poetically say, what is the line about the erectile dysfunction? I know you don't do poems.
I'll read this one. It's only four lines.
Thank you.
3 years ago, he was loving and warm. For 3 years now, he has been cold as ice. By the pillows, I've pressed him long and hard. He said, I'm old, I'm frail. I can't make that something rise.
Okay. Well, maybe you're pressing it too hard. You know? This is why communication is important when you're fucking the being that killed your husband and is now wearing his face. I like that that's where he draws the line. And also, maybe he was kind of into the guy he murdered. We don't... I'm not... Yeah. I don't know.
So...
I mean... There are less healthy relationships, is what I'm trying to say.
So the prince takes this as all the proof he needs. You know, my dad would definitely still be fucking if he was
now,
alive.
If there's one thing I know about my father, it's that he fucks. Oh, God.
So he immediately remounts his horse, and his mother asks him why he's leaving already. Like, you show up for after 3 years, you ask, are we still fucking? And then you just leave. But he tells her about Tripitaka, Pilgrim Son, and the story about his father being murdered. And he shows her the Jake token. And she starts sobbing again. And she cries out to her husband, why did he visit this monk before her? Because she did dream of him last night as well. He visited her and told her that he was dead. He said that he'd spoken to the Tog monk already about avenging him, but there was another half of the dream and she can't remember anything about it. And she just can't put her finger on what it was, but she keeps the token and she tells her son to go back to the monk so that they can, you know, hatch their plots. And he rides off again, holding back tears.
Yeah.
So, back at the monastery, the prince relays his conversation with his mother to Wukong Tripitaka. Wukong concludes that if the Taoist is so cold, he must be a transformation of some kind of cold-blooded monster spirit.
Or maybe he doesn't want to fuck the queen.
Or maybe he doesn't want to fuck the queen. He tells the prince that it's getting late and he should return home with his hunting party to avoid suspicion. Wukong will deal with the Taoist in the morning. But the prince points out that it'll still look very suspicious if the hunting party returns back without having caught anything because they just spent the entire time chilling at this monastery. So, always wanting to show off, Wukong summons two local spirits and he orders them to gather some game for the hunting party. And they round up several hundred grouse, pheasant, deer, foxes, badgers, hares, tigers, leopards, and wolves. Cut their tendons so they can't run and dumps them on the side of the road leading back to the city for the hunting party to just catch easily.
I understand the animal cruelty warning very well now, and also I'm not sure if that's overkill, no pun intended, or just malicious compliance.
I don't think it's malicious compliance. I think it's they're terrified of Wukong and just like, He said animals. He didn't say how many. Just get fucking everything.
Just all the animals. We would like every animal.
We will wipe out several species because he might kill us otherwise.
You wondered what happened to the dodo. Well.
So later that night, Wukong has a concern and he calls out to Tripitaka, who pretends to be asleep.
Wise.
But Wukong continues to bother him until he relents and asks Wukong what the hell he wants. And Wukong is worried about catching the Taoist despite his boasts. He said it'd be easy, but he's not actually so sure. He's been pretending to be a king for 3 years and it seems like no one has suspected anything up until now. It's going to be difficult to prove anything publicly. Like, you know, I can't just walk in and murder the king. So
why not? He's been walking in and murdering everybody.
He doesn't fully elaborate, but I feel like he's generally been concerned ever since the Lady Whitebone incident about murdering random people in front of Tripitaka. And if he, you know, if he just walks up and murders the king, everyone else is going to attack him.
Oh, he just doesn't want to get dumped again.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to have to defend himself and kill a load of people who just think that he attacked their king randomly.
Didn't he like randomly kill two kids a few episodes ago?
Yeah, but they were the children of a monster, and no one cared because they were children of a monster.
I'm not going to say fair to that, but I see the
it's
logic.
Definitely not fair. Like I again, as I pointed out in that chapter, like within that same chapter, they referred to Wukong as having previously been a monster. Like it's not like monsters in this story are not something that's just like born evil. They are just. It's not quite a job, but it's, you know, it's a way of not living, I suppose, almost. It's,
yeah.
It, like, Wukong is referred to as, like, becoming a monster again for going back and living wildly in the Flower Fruit Mountain.
Yeah, how is monster defined here?
I mean, like,
it's an interesting question.
I mean, there's no glossary.
Yeah.
But the usage, it seems to just be kind of any kind of powerful spirit that's living wildly and not kind of within the general order of heaven, and they tend to murder and eat people.
Something to ponder.
But you can stop being a monster. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
It's not a state of being.
You're not condemned to it.
Like all of the main characters except Tripitaka have referred to as having been monsters in the past.
Yeah.
Wukong does have a plan. But he says he has one obstacle in his way, and that's how much Tripitaka dotes over Zhu Baji. Tripitaka asks him what the hell he's talking about.
Why do you like the pig?
Nobody likes the pig. Wukong says, well, if you aren't partial to him, you should be happy to stay here with Xiao Wujing while I go with Baji to the Black Rooster Kingdom to find the king's body. We'll take it with us into the city tomorrow. And when we go to get our passport stamped, we'll present it to the court as evidence that the king has been murdered. Tripitaka says back, my only fear is that Zhu Baji is not going to be willing to go with you. And Wukong's like, you see, I told you doted on him.
Gotta wonder what the game here is.
Do you think he'll be like you and just pretend to be asleep? I'll be able to convince him. I can get him to go. And Tripitaka's like, fine, you can get him to do whatever you want, it's fine, go on. This is basically just Wukong talking Tripitaka into letting him boss Baji around again for whatever plan he wants.
I'm wondering here, because that is not a competent pig. That is not a competent entity. And Wukong knows this. I'm wondering why he would voluntarily choose to have possibly the most useless member of the party on a trip with him.
Do you want me to tell you?
I imagine I'm going to find out very soon.
Yeah. So Wukong drags Baji out of bed and he tells him that the Taoist has a very powerful magic treasure. And if they hope to beat him, they'll need to sneak into the city tonight and steal it. And Baji says he'll help him on the condition that he gets to keep the treasure, which Wukong magnanimously agrees to. The two of them sneak up to the palace and hop over the wall, and they find the closed-off imperial garden, and it's in a pretty bad shape. It hasn't been maintained at all. All the structures are crumbling. The trees and flowers are all dead or withering and being replaced with weeds. and the ponds have dried up. There is one tree still in perfect health, though. There's a solitary plantain tree, and Wukong reckons that must be the one that the Taoist planted over the well to hide it. And he gets Baji to uproot it with his rake before digging up the earth under it with his snout, revealing the well.
Okay.
It's capped with a huge stone, which Baji thinks must be a box for the supposed treasure. And when he pushes the capstone off, he thinks he sees a glowing treasure inside, but he realizes it's actually the moon and stars reflected in the well water below. And he says if he knew that the treasure was at the bottom of a well, he would have brought some rope.
Ah.
But Wukong pulls out the iron rod and he grows it 70 or 80 feet long. And he tells Baji that he can grab on the end of the rod and Wukong will lower him down gently with the rod. This actually kind of answers something I was wondering about with the rod, actually, which is, does it stay roughly proportional when it grows? Can he like to make it really long but still keep it thin and that? And I think this kind of shows that he can.
Yeah.
But anyway, Baji strips down and climbs onto the rod to be lowered down. And when he reaches the surface of the water, Baji shouts at Wukong to stop lowering. At which point, Wukong plunges the rod down hard into the water.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering.
So
it's just impossible to feel bad about anything at all bad happening to Zubaji.
The well is shockingly deep, though, and as he dives further down, Baji finds himself in front of a huge structure with the words Water Crystal Palace written on it. It looks like one of the palaces of the Dragon Kings of the Oceans, but it's the palace of the Well Dragon King, who lives in a well at the bottom of this garden for some reason. There's just a Dragon King down here.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just. Do we ever get an explanation as to why or?
Not really, no.
No, okay. I'm gonna in my head he's retired.
Yeah, but he has been expecting company. He recognizes Faji as the Marshal of Heavenly Reeds. He knows he's on a pilgrimage with the Tang Monk and he welcomes him in. And Faji says he's looking for a treasure, but the Dragon King says he doesn't have any. He's not like the big fancy Dragon Kings of the Yangji or the Yellow River. He just has this well. But Baji insists, and the king says, well, I only have one treasure. And he brings out the corpse to show to Baji.
Oh my God.
here's the king's corpse. I think this is what you're looking for. Baji says, you know, how's that a treasure? That's just a corpse. I've eaten hundreds of those.
Ew.
Yeah.
Never trust a man with a pig farm, etc.
The dragon has to explain that it's the corpse of the king of the Black Rooster Kingdom, but it's pretty perfectly preserved because the king has a magic preservation pearl that has kept the body fresh, which is I said in the last episode that you asked was Tripitaka saying it was just like his childhood foreshadowing, and I said it wasn't really, but actually this is exactly like that.
It's, yeah. And why did he have the pearl?
I think dragons just have magic pearls. I think that's just a thing that dragons have in this story.
Okay, so the king didn't keep it on him just in case.
No, I think the magic pearl belongs to the dragon king, not the human king.
Like, he's not carrying it around going, well, I might fall into a ditch and die or something, and I need to be the sexiest corpse. In the crypt, you know what I mean?
No. It's part of the Dragon King's thing.
Okay.
He doesn't have the king's soul, though. It's just the corpse. The dragon tells Baji to take the corpse back up to the great sage, equal to heaven. He's going to want it. And Baji demands a cartage fee for transporting it.
Oh, God.
And the Dragon King says he has no money. And Baji just refuses to carry it.
Also, are we just glossing over the fact that Baji can apparently breathe underwater?
Oh, he can't. So so he dove down to the palace, but then there's kind of like an air bubble, because as we'll see in a second, the king summons two yakshas to carry the body instead, and they take it out, throw it outside, and they remove the magic pearls, and there's a pearl that was also keeping the water at bay. And when they take that away, it causes a water to pour in and sweep away Baji and the body.
Well, dead people float.
This is obviously really the story, Jade. He just gets swept away, and he reaches out for something, and he grabs the body by accident, which freaks him out a bit. But he manages to swim back up to the surface of the well and calls up to Wukong to get him out. And Wukong tells him to bring the body up with him, or he'll leave him stuck down there. This is why Wukong brought along Baji. He didn't want to carry the corpse, and he also just wanted to fuck with him.
An understandable impulse, and one that should be rewarded.
So Wukong pulls him up with the body, and Baji explains to him why the body hasn't rotted at all, and they go carry it back to the monastery. And Baji refuses to carry it at first until Wukong just threatens to beat him if he doesn't. And while when they get back, Baji, having carried the body all the way back, decides to get back at Wukong. When they show the body to Tripitaka, Baji tells Tripitaka that Wukong promised he'd be able to bring the king back from the dead. He even said he wouldn't have to visit the world of darkness to do it at all. He'll do it. He'll stay in the land of the living and bring the king back to life. And Tripitaka thinks this sounds fantastic.
And immediately goes to wonderful. Tell people.
He also probably thinks that this is fair enough because this happened to his dad. So
yeah.
So this probably doesn't actually, of all like the ridiculous magic shit that's happened, this is probably the least ridiculous sounding thing to him.
Yeah.
But Wukong immediately denies this. He says, that's not only a lie, it's impossible. He's been dead for 3 years. He would have been reincarnated by now. The longest time someone stays suffering in the world of darkness is maybe like 700 days. I love how like specific and bureaucratic he is about this. Again, it's like, he's not just, you know, I can't bring back the dead. It's like, I can't bring back the dead because he would have been reincarnated by now. I am familiar with the bureaucratic processes of hell. And they would have moved him on by now. I'm also unsure about how the idea of someone being reincarnated but also appearing as a ghost would work. Maybe that is a thing. I don't know. I don't know how reincarnation works.
If it's 700 working days, though, you know, you might be able to. Would that stretch out to about three years? No. No, it would not. Oh well.
I don't know if you do.
No, because 2 years would be 700. And wait, I don't know how the Chinese calendar was at this point.
I don't either, but this is obviously a very modern idea, but I'm taking a modern Western work week of saying, say you have, you know, say working days, I'll take 52 days in a year, roughly, take away one day for holidays. 52 weeks in a year, take away maybe a week for a holiday, random, you know,
bank holidays and the like. Yeah.
Five working days in a week, 255 like working days in a year, maybe. Multiply that by 3, 765.
Just over the cutoff.
I mean, if something happened, you know, something happened two years and 8 months ago, you'd say 3 years.
Yeah. This is why you're the smart one.
I mean, this is why I'm the physicist. I'm just like completely making up bullshit numbers and multiplying them together and saying that means something.
This is
what we call a Fermi approximation. Wait, is that the right term?
I have no idea. Why are you asking me?
It's basically when you make up bullshit numbers by guessing orders of magnitude in order to come up with a really rough idea of something. Anyway, Wukong thinks this isn't going to happen. He's already been reincarnated. You can't bring him back to life. But Baji convinces Tripitaka that Wukong is just backpedaling now, and he did say this. And Tripitaka starts reciting the Tight Philip spell to make Wukong agree to bring the king back to life.
Oh my god. Can't do it.
We'll have to wait for the next chapter to figure out or to find out what Wukong's going to do about this.
Turn it into a shambling approximation of life.
He just spends the next 2 days like weekend at burying the kingdom. I haven't even seen that film.
Nobody has. Nobody has. If you've actually seen Weekend at Bernie's, we would love to hear from you. Okay.
So I don't know. What do you think Wukong's going to try and do?
I think Weekend at Bernie's. I don't want to be disabused of this motion.
I don't have a funny thing to follow that up with. Is this the end of the episode?
I guess it is. Stay hydrated, kids.
Stay hydrated. Stay hydrated. Yeah, it's a thing you can do when global warming is causing a horrific heat wave across much of
everything.
The Northern Hemisphere.
Everything will be fine as long as you keep drinking enough water. We're on social media places under names.
Monkey King
below,
Pod.
I think.
Monkey King Pod, yes. On Twitter.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.